At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The football pod with Paddy and Andy.
I signed with the Rod squad in 2011, that summer. You signed at the back of a smoke pack. Roddy, I would say, is like the Irish Harry Redknapp.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.
Now, the Irish international, Munster rugby and UL Bohemians player Emma Considine and her sister, the AFLW player with Adelaide Crows, Ailish Considine, join us now as Aviva Ireland launches its hashtag Lace Up With Pride campaign. Teaming up with Intersport Elveries, the campaign will give people the chance to buy rainbow laces for €4 at selected stores and online at www.elveries.ie, with all profits going to the LGBTI plus charity Belong to Youth Services. Emer and Ailish, how are you getting on?
Great, thanks so much for having us on. Good.
Absolutely, absolute pleasure. Ailish, I have to start with you. This concussion in Sydney back in February, I know it was quite a scary moment, I'm sure, for yourself and for your family as well. And you know, just a few weeks after Breege Stack had her horrific injury, your own teammate. But what are your memories of that day now back in February? And I guess more importantly, how are you now?
Now I'm good, thank God. No side effects from the injury, thank God. I've been fortunate enough not to have had any concussions in sport before, so it was probably my first major one. To be honest, when people ask me about it, I'm like, I actually don't remember very much of the incident itself. So it happened. From looking back at the footage and stuff, because obviously people were telling me that it was quite a hard hit and stuff, but I literally was on the field for about 30 seconds in the third quarter, and just got the ball, was running straight for goal, and that's all I can actually remember from the day. And I think I was knocked out, and I don't remember walking off the field. I don't remember getting checked with a doctor. I don't remember getting back to the sideline. But I was awake. Like, I walked off the field. Like, I was actually talking to the coaches and to the physios and asking them questions and asking them, can I go back on now? This is what they were telling me after the incident. And then I remember just sitting on the sideline and on the bench, and I remember just kind of coming back, that like I was back, I could see, and it's the first memory that I have, and I had no idea where I was. I had no idea what I was doing there, and I was like trying to figure out where I was by looking at the sponsors on the ground. And I remember just looking up and seeing that I was in gear, so I was like, okay, I'm playing AFL, I'm in Sydney. I don't remember what I did this morning. I don't remember how I got here. I don't remember anything. And this was probably about 45 minutes later since the incident itself. So like, it was pretty scary not actually remembering what I did that day. And I actively tried to force myself to remember what I was doing and where I was. And it wasn't until I got to the airport, because we flew back that same night, that I started to piece together the morning of that day and you know, before the game, before the incident. But there's a 45-minute gap where I have no idea what I did, what I said, how I managed to get to the sideline. Someone asked me, did I get checked with a doctor? I was like, nope, didn't get a test, didn't get checked with a doctor. I clearly did. I got a concussion test by the team doctor straight off the field, but I don't remember a single thing from it. So it's a pretty scary experience looking back on it.
Yeah, terrifying. And like, am I right in saying you had a freak accident not long before that involving a German Shepherd?
Yeah, it was actually after. So I had the concussion and then eventually got back into training 2 weeks later, and then had a solid week training, and then ended up getting bitten by a dog at a random oval where you know, I've ran plenty of times, just randomly just came up and went straight from my hip and then got me to the ground and gave me a nice few puncture wounds, and I've a nice scar coming home with me now after it.
Well, delighted you're okay now. At least you can laugh about it looking back now, and it's all kind of done. But Emer, for you, like, the time difference and distance, I guess, doesn't make it easy, you know, for family members for something like that when the game's in Australia. But you were in camp with the Irish rugby team when that concussion injury happened in the AFLW game with Ailish, but it must have been a scary call for you to get, and even a match, I guess, if you were watching as well, to see your family member going through something like that.
Yeah, so obviously it's in the middle of the night over there, and I think Mam was actually watching it, and she saw her go off. But I think the scary thing was that she didn't move for a few seconds. I think it might have been like 20 or 30 seconds where she just lay on the ground. And obviously I woke up then up in Dublin, and I checked Twitter. The first thing I did was check Twitter to see the score of the game. And then you just see Ailish Constantine taken off with an injury, and you just always think the worst of what it is. And luckily there's a really good app that you actually can watch back the games with. So I knew she got injured in third quarter, so I went straight to the game, watched it, and then I like saw her concussion, or saw her just hit. And it was just like, it was completely like, I know the girl ended up getting a one match ban for it, but it was completely like unintentional, just a tackle, clumsy tackle, and the way she fell on her as well, it just had the dual impact of both players landing on her head. But it is scary, and I suppose it's so prevalent in Irish sport. There's so much talk around concussion in rugby. And it probably wouldn't have been a main talking point in Gaelic, in like football, because even though I actually probably have had more concussions playing Gaelic football, there isn't the protocol around it. There isn't the talk around it. Obviously, the lads in the media, like the Welsh guys and Steve Thompson, like that's scary, the fact that they're so young and they have all these like early onset dementia and these neurological diseases as a result of the impacts that they got throughout their rugby careers. And it is always at the back of your mind, especially for Man. You know, she's looking at us, and I think with concussion, it's not visible. And that's the hard thing is, you know, you don't have cuts and bruises. It's just, you know, in your head, and you just don't feel right. And it's hard to explain until you actually get one of those head knocks.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And like we all know in rugby, there are those big hits. And Ailish as well for you in the AFLW. I mean, you've had three seasons now, I guess, to kind of bed in. But, you know, those skills from GEA are certainly transferable in many ways. But are you at the point now where, you know, the Aussie rules skills are for you second nature? Or is it a case of always picking up little bits here and there? Still, you were famously Ireland's first ever AFLW champion a couple of years ago in 2019. But are you still at the point where you're picking up little tricks of the trade, even 3 years in?
Yeah, like still a little bit. A lot of the major skills are coming pretty second nature at this stage, because I've worked so hard to get them right and not have to think about them. But like, you're always going to pick up new things in games, see players do things that I wouldn't have seen before and try and replicate what they do. And I think, yeah, for the majority of the skills, I've pretty much picked them up at this stage. But like you're always learning. Every single game that you play, you always learn. But I think the major thing that that I have to try and pick up and master is just the gameplay and the style of play that they play, because it's completely different to Gaelic football. They play the game very, very differently. So for me, it's just trying to master that side of things, the gameplay, the knowledge around it, the structures. So that's probably the biggest challenge for me at the moment is, you know, trying to get my head around all of that and get that right on the day and be in the right position at the right time.
And talk about getting your head around things. I'm struggling to get my head around the fact, Emer, that you only took up rugby in 2015. And like to see what you're doing now with the Irish team and with Munster is quite incredible. But is it similar to Ailish in that, you know, when you took up the sport of rugby, I know you had the background in Camogie and Gaelic football as well with Clare, but was it difficult for you to bed into this new sport when you took it up 6 years ago, or was it just natural?
No, it was hard. It was again, similarly, it was the game understanding, obviously, like no matter how long you're playing rugby or following rugby, the laws are always changing, and the ruck especially is always, you know, the contact element of the game is always, you know, evolving. And that was one thing that was really difficult at the start, was just understanding the game. But yeah, I suppose you're like I've said it before, like you're almost like a ready-made athlete coming from GA. And it was just, I was so good at football and Camogie easily. And I was, you know, confident in what I did. I was confident in my decisions, and I was confident in the team environment. But it was like flipping a switch and being the complete opposite person in rugby. Like I had no confidence. I had no idea of the games. I went from being the top of my game to the bottom of this game. And I think psychologically it was really difficult, because you're just learning all the time. You're trying to take in so much information. And obviously I was grateful that I got to learn everything at the top with the top coaches in the RFU. And I got taught everything the way they wanted me to learn in relation, like I didn't pick up bad habits because I literally got taught from the top coaches. Like I have plenty of bad habits, but you know, they did their best to try and teach me. But I think it was a psychological part of things that I was just learning all the time, trying to take it in, trying to take copious amounts of knowledge at such huge pace, because I had so little time to learn a game. And like sevens was so challenging, but it did give me the fundamentals of rugby. Like if you can't pass in sevens, you know, it's so important in the game. If you can't tackle in sevens, it's so important. So those skills, being able to ruck, pass, catch, tackle in sevens, like it really brought my 15s game on. And yeah, I never imagined it would work out like this. I never imagined I'd play rugby for Ireland. Didn't even know what sevens was before I played rugby. And I definitely didn't think I'd be like sitting here how many years later still playing rugby and playing 15s rugby.
I had read somewhere that your older brother Keith had bought you, before you ever took up rugby, bought you a Rugby for Dummies book. Is that right?
It was actually the first. So I think I took up rugby in like October 2015. And then I was just doing like trainings like twice a week. And then for Christmas that year, Keith got me the Rugby for Dummies book, and like I genuinely read it. Like, and Mum actually took it out the other day, which she was clearing out, and she's like, "I left the Rugby for Dummies book on your table." But like, yeah, he actually did. Like, I genuinely like, the funniest story I ever tell, and I just cringe thinking back at it. But when I went to my first ever tournament, was over in San Diego playing against like USA Canada, like mental that I went over there and never been playing a game before, and Anthony Eddy told me to go nine. And I was like, no, actually, I don't think it was that game. I think it might have been like one of the training sessions early on. He said, go nine. I could not comprehend how I could play nine when there were seven players on the field. Like, I could not comprehend it. And like, to me now, as a rugby analyst and like someone who works on TG Garr and like doing analysis, like, it's actually bizarre how I didn't know that nine was from half. But to me, as someone who genuinely like had no idea of rugby, and that just sums up how little I knew about the game. And he said go nine, I was like, but there's only seven players on the field. That's how naive and how clueless I was about the game.
Well, look, you've come a long way since then, Eimear, to be fair. we'll let you off with that one. I just wanted to talk to you guys as well briefly, I guess, about burnout. And it's something that kind of comes up quite often. And I know even for yourselves, Eimear, the Rugby World Cup, Women's Rugby World Cup has been postponed until next year, but it's kind of been stretched in terms of days to give it a bit more time to breathe, I suppose, in the calendar. But, you know, I guess the importance of finding time for yourself and the important people in your lives, you know, you both, you know, between, I guess, work and you know, friends and family and all that sort of thing, it can be difficult at times to find the time. And I know a lot of sports people in Ireland and across the world, that word burnout is so crucial for them. I guess for either of you, what ways and methods would you say burnout has been something that you've been able to get over as your careers have progressed?
Yeah, I think it is definitely something that I find myself every so often just having to have a chat with myself or having a chat with Dean and going, you know, this opportunity has come up and it's like, God, do I have time for this? And when you actually sit down and plan it out, and you just have to learn to say no to some things, I think. You know, it's great to be pulled left, right and centre and wanted to do this and that, but so you just have to weigh it up and think, you know, do I have time for this? What I would have done in the past was try to people please and try and say yes to everything and every, you know, be everywhere at a certain time. And I think you just have to learn to say no to some things and just value the time that you have as your time. Like it's okay not to have like a full schedule or try and fill every weekend or every evening. So I've learned through, like, obviously through failing at that before. When I was in the sevens, it was really difficult with work, training, and it was just constant. And I wasn't enjoying anything that I was doing. So I think when it comes to the point where you're not enjoying something, you have to take a look at it and be like, well, why am I enjoying it? And is it because everything else is too busy, or because, you know, your time is your time. And at the end of the day, like rugby is, it's not my job, it's my hobby, and it should be enjoyable. And until it doesn't get while it's still enjoyable, I'll play as long as I can, as long as I'm able. But I think I've learned that through, you know, being under pressure and having elements of burnout in the past.
Absolutely. It's so important for you know, players to mind their mental health and stuff over, you know, I guess as a priority over training and matches as well, as you say. For you then, Eilish, I mean, someone who is clearly important in both of your lives and your careers and your sport is your mum, Kay. And I know, like, we spoke about the distance between Oz and Ireland at the start, but I'm sure she's unbelievably proud of what you both achieved. And look, I know you guys had to both go through the tragic loss of your dad years ago. But how much does it mean to you to see your mum's pride in what you've achieved? And look, I'm sure a hugely important figure in both of your lives.
Yeah, like she isn't. She's not great at hiding how proud she is. So she does let us know.
And everyone else
from time to time. So, and no, in fairness, like we wouldn't be where we are today without her. Like she has been a rock in terms of, you know, everything that we've gone through in our life, and like we wouldn't be where we are today in our sporting career without her, because I think she traveled every road in Ireland bringing us to either trainings or games, or even two or three training sessions in the one day between under 14, 16, minors, Clare, Kilmainey, Kilmahill, between them all. I don't know how she kept on the road and how she had so much time to pass with us. So she really sacrificed so much for us, and I guess I'm just grateful that we do make her proud, and you know, hopefully we are making her proud and give back a little bit for what she did sacrifice for us as kids and teenagers. So you know, you got any more to say on her?
Yeah, I just think like she, as an adult now who has to, you know, do your own washing, do your own food, and live like, you know, life, normal life, like when you actually think of what she did. There wasn't enough hours in the day. Like, I don't have enough hours in the day to do stuff for myself, not to talk about trying to do it for two others and try and accommodate like your two daughters going to X, Y, and Z training sessions. And like we were playing every instrument under the sun as well. Like, it wasn't just sport. There was piano, guitar, fiddle. Like, we had it all. Like, there wasn't an evening we were idle. So I think our busyness and our ability to be able to juggle stuff comes from years of practice of trying to juggle everything. On top of like being in school and everything. So yeah, we're extremely grateful, and yeah, she knows it as well.
Absolutely, I'm sure she does. Just to finish up, guys, like, what's next for you both? I know, Eilish, you've got your killing it out in Oz there at the moment. So what's in the pipeline for you the coming months and years? Like, is the plan to stay out in Oz? Is it to come home and play some more club at some stage? Or what do you have in your head at the moment?
Yeah, for the moment, while I'm fit and able and able to continue, and while the keeper is signing me, I'm going to keep going out to Australia and play for as long as possible. I feel like because I've taken it up so late, like only in the last 3 years, that I wouldn't feel right about giving it up now at this stage. Like I'm in it for the long haul. I really want to go and actually properly give it a go and play for the next couple of years while I'm still able. So if the opportunity allows me to do that, that's something that I will definitely pursue. But I'm never ruling out the fact of coming back playing Gaelic football at some stage. That's obviously in the pipeline, probably a good bit in the future right now. But yeah, for now and for the next couple of years, the plan is to continue playing Australian rules football out in Australia
and enjoy the sunshine.
Exactly, enjoy the sunshine. And like for you, Emer, I know it's impossible to have any sympathy for a teacher heading into the summer months. I know you're a PE and Irish teacher. you've got the next few months to unwind and do absolutely nothing, I'm sure.
Well, I'm actually getting married in July, so that's well, at the moment. That's why she came home.
Well, congratulations. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah, great. Like, I'm obviously really delighted, and obviously we're gonna have 50 people at it now, so that's really relieving, to be honest. But we're back in season again in 2 weeks' time. So we had a lovely off season there, well needed after kind of a mad year of just constantly training. And then we'll be back in full steam ahead for the World Cup qualifiers in September. So really exciting that, you know, we have that opportunity. The World Cup has been on our horizon since, you know, we didn't qualify in 2017. So we are hopefully going to get to play those games, and hopefully we'll know by September if we have qualified for New Zealand or not.
Absolutely. Well, listen, guys, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you both. And I should mention as well, just what I mentioned at the start, but you're both on with us because Aviva Ireland are launching its Lace Up with Pride campaign, teaming up with Intersport Elveries. The campaign will give people the chance to buy rainbow laces for €4 at selected stores and online at elveries.ie. with all profits going to the LGBTI plus charity Belong to Youth Services. So listen, Emer and Eilish, keep doing what you're doing, and no doubt we'll speak to you both very soon again, no doubt. So thanks a million.
Cheers, thanks for
OTB AM.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetZetGo. Car insurance is boring, but saving money bounces it into brilliance. Enter promo code SPORT and save €40 off your car insurance with GetZetGo.ie.